Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. With our state's courts handing down decisions about voting districts and with a controversial nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court likely to be confirmed this week, maybe, maybe not, with accusations of activist judges legislating from the bench being tossed about by members of both political parties, we take a look at how and why our court systems seem to be becoming more politicized. We get to that in a moment, but first, a recap of the damage inflicted over the weekend by Hurricane Florence. It was a different kind of storm from the one we were expecting, but it still wreaked havoc along the coast and inland areas, including Charlotte, endured historic amounts of rain, and suffered through flooding and electric power outages.
We saw widespread flooding. One of the things that stood out to me is going to be a challenge with debris cleanup. In a number of areas where we saw the water had receded, there's a lot of debris left, a lot of boats washed up in the New Bern area particularly.
Governor Roy Cooper, after an aerial tour of the damage from Hurricane Florence along the coast. Let's start in Wilmington, near the coast, where WFAE's David Borax arrived yesterday afternoon. He joins us by phone. And David, Governor Cooper warned yesterday that Florence had never been more dangerous than it was yesterday afternoon because of all the rain coming down and the continued floodwaters rising. NBC reported yesterday afternoon that rising floodwaters in the Wilmington area were the major concern at the time. More than 2 feet of water had fallen in over 50 hours. Water, fallen trees had made the city essentially inaccessible by road from the rest of the state. So how did you get there?
That's a good question, Mike. Like a lot of people, I set out yesterday from Charlotte to get to Wilmington thinking that maybe the storm had passed and things would be okay. But as we've heard, the story is otherwise. Probably the worst thing about Hurricane Florence is the aftermath and all of the rain and flooding that's happened. So my trip down here, you know, it should take about 3.5 hours to get to Wilmington from Charlotte, and I figured out that it took me about 8 hours to get here. That included a couple of stops along the way to wait for waters to recede or wait for the all clear to go across areas where there was water across the road. So it was an exciting journey, to say the least.
Wow. Exciting. Didn't you get caught in a flash flood? Didn't I hear that you got caught in a flash flood?
Several places along U.S. 74 between Charlotte and Wilmington were overrun by creeks that normally are, 6 feet deep and 15, 20 feet wide, and they suddenly became these raging rivers. And in all the places that I was able to drive through, it came up maybe about 4 to 6 inches above the roadway. But, I waited for folks to lead the way. And in one case, there was a National Guard unit with a couple of trucks that led a convoy of other emergency workers across this one section of swamp in Whiteville that was run over with water. So it was really something I had not seen before.
You have described what you saw when you finally arrived in Wilmington with one word: devastation. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I drove into Wilmington across the bridge and just started seeing roofs torn off of buildings, gas station awnings knocked down, trees and power lines down. Just about every block has something wrong with it. And in many of these places, nobody has been out to check on this yet because there are so many incidents like these around the city that there are not enough utility and emergency workers to get out there. So there are places where power lines are hanging down and nobody has been able to get there yet. I've never seen anything like it. I wasn't out here at the coast during the other hurricanes like Hugo and the other ones that we've talked about, but it's pretty bad. And there's still a lot of places in town with no power. There is one section of downtown that does have power back, but here at the WHQR studios, we're on emergency generator with minimal necessities here.
Yeah, you're at WHQR in Wilmington. I know they've been covering this storm for both Wilmington and the coastal areas of North and South Carolina. What do you know about other areas of the coastline in terms of damage and recovery at the moment?
Well, really two different kinds of damage. We've probably people have seen the images on TV of the New Bern area, which got hit with really heavy storm surge and flooding. Lots of rescues there. The story inland from here a little bit, like Columbus County, where I was yesterday, there are places where you're basically on an island and you can't get out of there. And the floodwaters are still rising, and with more rain over the coming days, this is not going to stop anytime soon.
You had a chance to go out and talk to some folks on the streets, I guess. And one of the aspects of this story that I really haven't heard much about is how it's impacting individuals, particularly people who are not well off. And,
right.
And you spoke to somebody who really put it into perspective for you.
Well, think about this. How do we all prepare for a storm? I mean, most of us who have the means will run out to the Lowe's or Home Depot and the grocery store and all that. But if you don't fit that description, it's a lot harder. I was walking up Front Street in downtown yesterday, and I met a guy named Donnie Butler. He had his hands in his pockets, and he was kind of looking down. And he said he was hanging out with his pregnant wife in their apartment, and it's been a trial. And here's what he said.
Right now, we're struggling for food. Everybody downtown that's open don't take nothing but cash. You know, I don't have any, so things is tough right now.
You know, he has an electronic benefits card, but it doesn't work in stores without power, so he was kind of out of luck. Anyway, just a reminder for all of us that there are some folks who are getting hit pretty hard by this.
And you're operating from very rudimentary conditions, I'm told. And I experienced this myself here at during Hurricane Hugo. Even though broadcast facilities have generators, the generators are there pretty much to power the electronic equipment and nothing else. And that's the case there as well, isn't it?
Pretty much. I slept in a pitch dark room last night on a couch. The studios are operating here. I will say, though, they did have a TV set hooked up yesterday to watch the Panthers game.
Well, safe travels back, and I know you'll have more stories about what's going on in the Wilmington area and along the coastline throughout the day here on WFAE. David Borax, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
WFAE Steve Harrison is here to fill us in on the damage here in Charlotte, because yesterday was a day here, let me tell you. The Weather Service issued a warning for this area, Steve, that is rarely used. I've never seen it. It was called a flash flood emergency. They issued that for exceedingly rare situations when a severe threat to human life and catastrophic damage from a flash flood is happening or will happen soon. And they added, get to higher ground now. I've never seen that either. How many areas around the Charlotte Metro were flooded and how badly?
So I think the big issue was in the southeast part of the county, and then moving into Union County. The most rain in Mecklenburg in terms of a rain gauge was at Matthews at the NCDOT office on Independence. They got 12.3 inches over the last week, and then a lot of other areas of the county were much less. Union County was on a curfew last night. They've had several roads flood. And here in Charlotte, the fire department this morning said they feel confident that creeks and streams are on their way down, and that definitely the worst is over.
This was unprecedented, I'm told, in terms of flooding. Areas that have never flooded before flooded. The fire department, who's kind of, they were on the program last Friday or Thursday to talk about this, and they felt they had a pretty good handle on it. Were they surprised by certain areas that flooded, or do you know?
I think they felt like, in talking to them yesterday and this morning, that that the flooding wasn't, at least locally, wasn't quite as bad as they thought.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that's happened here in Charlotte over the past 10 or 20 years is that Mecklenburg County has bought out a lot of homes in along creeks and in floodplains. I think they bought out about 400 structures. So on Briar Creek, yesterday I went out to the Doral Apartments. That's off Monroe Road. 10 years ago, they flooded heavily, and then an apartment complex across the creek also flooded. The county bought a lot of that out, and they're gone now, and that's a floodplain. Now, there's still some apartments that remain, and they stay dry. And I think a lot of people who live there were surprised they were dry.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday afternoon, I believe there were about 18 roads around Charlotte that were closed because of flooding. What's the situation now?
So the fire department said this morning they believe those were open. They couldn't give a definitive list, but I've seen some things on social media where there are a few roads here and there that are still closed from a down power line. But even yesterday, you could see some of the rain was, even during the day, was receding. North Tryon Street had about, there was a place under an underpass that had about 3 or 4 feet of water earlier in the day. By the afternoon, that was mostly gone. So I think, in general, most of the roads here locally are open.
So South and East Charlotte, heading into Union County, seemed to be the areas most impacted by the flooding, at least yesterday, from everything I was seeing and hearing about. Were those the worst areas, or were there other areas that we didn't hear so much about because that was taking the focus?
I think that was the worst. When you just look at the rain totals, they got far more than anyone else in Charlotte. South Charlotte got, I think, about 8 to 10 inches over the past week, but really kind of the rest of the county was in the 4 to 6 inch rainfall total. So I think that Southeast Charlotte, Mint Hill, Matthews, and Union County really did get the worst of the storm.
Of course, the rain moved from here up toward the mountains. There were all these weathercasters talking about what happens when storms go up, take their trip upslope, and it causes the rain to condense and become even worse, and that causes landslides and more flooding, and the flooding all comes downstream into Charlotte. So what do we know about conditions in the mountains?
I haven't seen much on that this morning. I haven't heard. Union County has still been kind of receiving most of the attention. There was that tragic situation yesterday where I was reading WBTV said a woman had kind of driven around a roadblock and into water, and her one-year-old was kind of pulled from her and swept away, and they are still searching for her. I have not heard about any kind of similar situations in the mountains. But that was a very sad story in Union County.
Prior to Florence arriving, we had a long conversation with the mayor and the fire chief about the tree canopy. They were very concerned about the tree canopy because at the time we thought the major problem was going to be wind and the soaking rains that would weaken the tree roots, et cetera. And we did have trees down, and I saw a photograph that you took and posted on WFAE.org of a house on Queens Road West, which really looked severely damaged because of a tree down. What is the situation with down trees?
I don't think there are as many as people feared. Definitely when you get into the older neighborhoods of Charlotte, it was a big mess, and there's limbs and mess everywhere. But there were some oaks that fully toppled, fully crushed some homes. But overall, I didn't see just huge devastation, and living here 10 years, there's been other storms where I've seen just as many fallen trees.
So Steve, we have about 30 seconds left. How badly was the airport and air travel affected by this, and are they back to normal today?
So they are back to normal today or trying to catch up. The airport never closed. They talked a lot about they were going to have to use a crosswind runway if the winds got too bad. I think they briefly used it, but American kind of kept plugging along throughout the storm. I think they canceled a lot of their regional flights, the smaller planes, but there
seconds.
Was never kind of a wholesale shutdown. That never happened.
WFAE Steve Harrison. When we come back, we'll talk to Randy Wheelis, a spokesperson for Duke Energy, to let you know if your power is coming back anytime soon if you're out of power. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. In just a moment, we're talking about the effect of politics on our court system throughout the country here in North Carolina and also at the Supreme Court level. But first, a little wrap-up on Hurricane Florence, and Randy Wheelis joins us now. He's a spokesperson for Duke Energy. He was with us on Friday prior to the storm. He's back this morning. Randy, how are things? How many Duke Energy customers are out of power around the two states right now?
Right now, we got a little more than 300,000 customers without power. Most all of that is in North Carolina, and most of that is all in those coastal counties and maybe a county within that, like a Duplin County or something like that. But we got a lot of work to do today and really throughout the week.
Yeah, the more than 830,000 Duke Energy customers had power restored yesterday. It seems to me that either you're working really fast or the storm wasn't as bad as you had been planning for. Which is the case?
Well, I think the outage projections fell within our projections. We said 1 to 3 million. It's been a little over a million. We've installed 20,000 crews throughout the state, the two states, to respond to outages. And in many cases, they're responding to outages and getting people back up. So we've done a good job. But as David mentioned earlier, there's in Wilmington, where a lot of the outages are, access has really been an issue. We've got crews. We're making restoration there now, but we definitely could use additional crews getting there, but getting there is an issue.
And Duke did have a problem with the collapse. I'm not sure of the terminology here, but because of the violence of the rainfall, a coal ash pile, essentially a part of it collapsed and caused some of that to wash out of the coal ash pile. So that's down near the Sutton plant, near the coastline. What exactly happened to the ash that washed out of that pile?
So this is our Sutton plant in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's a former coal-fired plant. Had a lined landfill, which some construction was still going on around it. All the rain kind of exposed a part that was holding the ash. The ash escaped. Luckily, there's some barriers between that and a public waterway. There's a ditch running by and also a cooling pond that's part of the plant. Any ash that escaped was caught by those, and there's no evidence that ash got to a public waterway. So that's really the good news, that really no ash that we know of has gotten to a public waterway.
Now, you say that's good news, but over the weekend I heard another Duke spokesperson make the point of saying repeatedly that coal ash is not hazardous, and that's because the federal government does not classify it as a hazardous material. But you just said it's a good thing that it didn't get out. So which is the true story here?
Well, actually, the EPA does declare that ash is a non-toxic ingredient. I mean, it's been that way for years. But I think, you know, ash in the public waterway, really anything, it could be a spill of fertilizer. You don't want that going in a public waterway either. So the fact that that didn't happen is really good news. We need to, address, and we're addressing it now, what happened with our land aligned landfill. But as far as the overall big picture, no ash in the waterway, that's good news.
Now, the Catawba River is expected to crest, I believe, later today from the rainfall that hit this area yesterday, and then there'll be more water coming from upland, up near the mountains. And we spoke on Friday about handling all this water coming into Lakes Norman and Wiley and how Duke controls the spillways to minimize flooding. I know you planned for this. Given the historic amount of rain that we got over the weekend, are you able to stick to that plan?
Yeah, actually, our hydro facilities have operated well. We did, the week before, open up as much possible storage for water as we could. We know we would need it, which we have. We're at high levels at most of our Catawba waterways. I know there are other dams we have throughout the state. Some are overflowing, but that's not totally unusual. But as far as any dam failures or worries about the public safety because of the dams, that hasn't happened. We feel good about that going forward.
If people still don't have power and they're listening to us on some sort of battery device and they want a window on when their power might return, how do they find that out?
Well, we have something online that's a map that we've been updating with zones where we are giving updates. But right now, still early in the storm, I don't think we have a really specific time that we could give anyone that says it's going to be back on this afternoon or tomorrow morning or something like that. We're still assessing, especially in these hard-hit areas, we're still assessing what's going on and trying to move crews there. Our number one concern today, I think, in Wilmington, where David's at, is the Wilmington Airport. That's without power. We hope to have that back on today. Because there are a lot of needed supplies that need to go into that area, not just electricity, but supplies like David was talking about, just food, water, necessities for humans there.
You got your work cut out for you, Randy, but thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.